Always humbling to open the Word of God, and this past week I realized that where we were in Matthew was a place that would humble me even more, because as we search to be more like Jesus, we find it so hard. It's so hard to be like Him sometimes, to forgive 70 times 7. That's so hard to carry on in our lives, not to speak words of criticism, but to speak words of blessing to everybody, both sides, all sides. It's hard to humble ourselves and let that stinking pride die. It's hard. It's hard to turn the other cheek. It's hard to love others as much as we love ourselves. It's not hard to love ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we feel like that's the thing that we're meant to do. Every commercial tells you, satisfy every need of your life. Do whatever feels good. If it doesn't harm anybody, it's okay, do it. Feed every appetite of your mind and your heart and your flesh. That's what the world says. The Bible says no, that our focus should always be on God and God alone. Now, I'm talking to a group of people who've experienced the miraculous touch of God in your own lives. And you have turned to Him in the foxhole of faith when you felt as though there was no place else to go. You've turned to God, and God has reached down and touched your body and physically healed you. God has provided when there was no way that provision was there for you. He has provided for you. You have seen it with your eyes. You have felt it. You have touched it. You have tasted it. And yet, I'm here today to tell you that there is a higher calling that Jesus gives us. That our desire should be not just simply for the things of the flesh. God knows we need those. But our desire should be God's will and doing it. It's a different level. It's a different kind of expectation. Not that simply God will carry us through and keep us well and keep us fed and keep us clothed, keep us away from evil. But that God, who we love with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our strength, desires our companionship with Him. It's an awesome thing to think. It's probably the prayer that's never spoken, because we're always thinking about ourselves instead of pleasing God. What pleases yourself quite often displeases God. But what pleases God is what we'll try to find today. Jesus wants us to understand who God is, and He tells us something in John 14, verses 9 and following. Listen to the words of our Lord. Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. I have often said that Jesus prayed all the time. I've coined a kind of a little phrase. I say that Jesus went from prayer place to prayer place with some sort of activity in between. The fact is that Jesus was always in a perpetual state of prayer. He says here that the very words he speaks are from the Father. The things that he does are because the Father told him to do them. He is in total, absolute submission to God. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to be like that too. We're going to have to submit ourselves. That is what the Bible means when it says that we're to pray without ceasing. We're to be constantly in a state of prayer. Jesus says that if you don't believe me, believe the works themselves. And you're to do the works that you do in everything you do in life to the glory of God. To God's glory. Brushing your teeth to the glory of God. Sweeping out the floor to the glory of God. Whatever menial task you turn your hand to, whatever thing you do to the glory of God. That is what Jesus did. That is what he calls us to do likewise. When he says, these works I do, you will do, and greater. Why does he do the works? He does the works to glorify God. Why does he answer your prayers? So that God will be glorified. He says that in John 14. So everything you do, every prayer you pray, should be to the glory of God. You should be in such communion with God that he motivates your every thought, your every word, your every action. And in that way, you don't worry about being judged for every word you spoke, because every word you spoke came from, issued forth from, the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we're trying to do today. Sort of sobering, isn't it? Because it sounds so hard. And yet, through Christ, we can do all things. We can please God. We can do things that are pleasing in His sight. We can say things that are pleasing to His ears. He can see our works, and if there are works that are done alongside Him, for His will to be accomplished. Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. If we're doing things for God and we're in His will, there is no safer place in all the world to be. That is what we're going to look at today. As we look at Jesus and what He tells us about prayer. So let's go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we rush into Your presence like a child rushing home from school. We have so many things on our heart, so many things we want to unburden ourselves with and let You hear about. When we were children, we'd run home and tell Mama and Father about the kid that bullied us, or what so-and-so said, or what the teacher did or didn't do. We just were waiting for someone to hear us. And Father, we know You're always waiting to hear. So let us unpack our hearts today. Let us cast our cares upon Jesus, for He invites us to. Let us speak to You and let You speak to us in words that we can understand. And so, Father, I ask as always that you will cast my words out, for they're meaningless. They're sound and fury, signifying nothing. But your words are life and death. And we ask that you would let them sink deep within us, that we might hear them today from the uncluttered minds that turn to you in this hour. That we, like hungry children, might come to you now, asking you to do what only you can do. And may you be glorified in what we do in response. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look now at chapter 7 of Matthew. We'll start with verse 7 and we'll go through 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you, who if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Ask. A-S-K. A for ask, seek, is the S, and K is for the knock. In a way, it summarizes everything that Jesus tells us we need to do. But before we ask, we need to realize that we have something to ask for. You know, I once asked my kids what they wanted for Christmas. And they looked at me and said, "Everything." I said, "Wait, I want you to focus now on your heart's desire. What do you want most?" All of us have trouble doing that. The world is filled with so many things that we want, or we think we want. Commercials are meant to generate that want stuff kind of attitude in you and in me. We see them all the time, and they're always trying to pull us away. "Are you like this?" "Oh, yes, but here's a better one. Here's a newer model." "Oh, well, I have the old model." "Yes, but you don't like that anymore because it's out of date. It's an old model." Sometimes we do that with relationships. "I have this wife I've had for 42 years that you've given me." "Yeah, but there's a newer model over here." We have a problem in identifying what we really want. What do you really want? And why do you want it? Is it something you can't do for yourself? Usually, that's what we ask for. We ask for something that we can't do for ourselves. Sometimes, of course, people will ask for things they can do for themselves. They'll come here and they'll look for food, or they'll look for help in some way, and they want some money, or they want this, they want that. If they would go out and earn it, they could get it, but they just don't want to go through the effort. They would rather tell me a long, long story about the terrible things that have happened in their lives in order to try to receive what they want. But it's something they could have themselves if they would just apply the strength and the health that they already have to acquiring it. What we're talking about is something beyond what you can do for yourself. Ask. In the asking, we have to acknowledge that there is someone we're asking from who has more authority and resources than we have ourselves. We couldn't get it by ourselves. I could not get rid of heart attacks by myself. I could do everything the doctor said. I could take the pills. I could have the surgery. I could do the exercise. I could eat the right foods, etc., etc., etc. These are things I could do. But this does not result in healing. Only God can heal me. If I want healing, I have to go to the one who has the resource and who has the authority. When you're looking in your pockets and you find nothing, as quite often I find, because if it's in my pocket, it doesn't stay there long. People ask me for something, I will reach into my pocket and give them what I have, and it's gone. But if I find myself in need of more cash, where do I get it? Well, I can seek an extra job. I could seek to get a raise. Not from you, of course, but I could seek to get a raise. But I would try to do something to accomplish what I need. I need more cash. So who do you go to? Do you ask your fellow worker? You know, the guy who's been there 10 years longer than you and still in the same position you're in. Do you ask him for a raise? Of course not. He doesn't have the resources. He doesn't have the authority. Who do you ask for a job or a promotion or a raise? You ask the boss. Because you acknowledge that he has the resources and the authority to dispense those resources to you. And so in the asking for something, we need to acknowledge who we're asking from. We're asking from one who has all the resources and all the authority to disperse the resources our direction. Asking is something of a humility. It's almost begging, if you want to use those terms. We go to one who has something we desire to have for ourselves, and we ask them for it. The Bible says, you have not, for you ask not, or you ask not correct. Now, when I was in the secular world, and for a stretch there, I was vice president and president of an engineering company, no one barged into my office and demanded a raise or demanded a promotion. All they would have gotten was a swift kick. That was not the way to approach me. That's not the way we approach anyone we're asking from. We do so with respect. We go in and we ask. That's the reason Jesus tells us in the model prayer that that's the way we approach God, our Father. That shows a relationship. Our Father, what a close communion we have when we understand that God is our Father. Not merely an abstract creator out here who pulled us out of the primal goop and made that soup into you, but He is our Father. Our Father, who? Where is He? In heaven. And who is He? He knows everything about us. He knows who we are. He has all the power, all the glory, all the knowledge. He knows everything about you. And you're going to Him, and you're doing it respectfully. Jesus says, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus has just told us, that why do we worry about what we're going to wear or what we're going to eat? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, but God takes care of them. Look at the grasses that were here one day and thrown into the oven the next. They're just here for a short time. And yet Solomon, no matter what he did, no matter how he tried to use man's ability, was not clothed as one of these flowers of the field. We ask for what God does. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Didn't Jesus, in His comparison between the scribes and the Pharisees and His way, the false way and the right way, say that those people who, who prayed out loud and prayed so that the public would see them and would take up an alleyway and stop all the traffic on both sides just so they could pray and show themselves holy. He said they have their own reward. They already have it. They wanted the approval of men, and they have the approval of men. They wanted the respect of men. Oh, isn't that a religious person? He said, but I say, go into your closet, go into the doors, shut the door of your house. For whatever you ask me in private, I will deliver it in such a way that everyone sees that it was God that gave it to you for His glory. When you approach God, you have to approach it for His glory. I was talking this morning about something that happened in my life. You know, I was stubborn, like all of you. And so God had to get my attention. And I gave God a piece of me at a time. Perhaps you've done that too. I'm here. I'm dressed up and I'm here on Sunday morning. Oh, here's my tithe. You know, one piece at a time. But I still had my job because I was trying to take care of my family instead of just asking God to take care of my family. I was trying to do for my family as well as do a little for God. And I knew God had called me to full-time service, but I thought I could be bivocational. I actually had cards made up that said, have sermon, will travel. Have job, no fee. I preached any place they'd let me preach. I preached in nursing homes. I preached in all kinds of denominational churches. One time I really got in, I don't know how it happened, but I was preaching in this Lutheran church, and after they heard what I said, I thought they would stone me to death. And then the next Sunday or Sunday after that, I was preaching in the Assembly of God. The pastor said, well, just take your liberty. I said, you have no idea what you just told me. And then I had a heart attack. And the people that were supposed to have insurance on me didn't have insurance on me. So I suddenly owed a lot of money. The doctor told me I could not go out and do certain things that I'd been doing before. One thing led to another. And I kept on trying to work. And then I had to have open heart surgery. Now I really couldn't do anything. I ended up giving away my business. And I just had no place to go. And so I said to God, God, here am I. I'm finally got the message. I'll work for you full time. I'll be the Billy Graham of Texas. And God said to me as clearly as He could possibly say, just be a Christian. Just follow me. I don't want to come to this little church. Are you kidding me? I came here. There were 22 people on high attendance Sunday. That counted myself, my wife, my three children. I thought God was punishing me. I didn't want to do it. We give ourselves away a piece at a time until we finally give ourselves completely. God says you're to love me with your whole heart, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And it's so hard to do that. And yet Jesus did. And if we want to be like Jesus, we should too. God needs to invade every area in my life. And I should do everything for His glory. Ask, and it will be given to you. What do we want? Well, we want food and shelter and clothing, the approval of others, warmth, love. We need those things. We want them. But God knows we need them. And so when He taught us the prayer, He said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, don't give us a special thing. Give us what we're giving others. Treat us as we treat others. Wow. You ever thought about it that way? That's Jesus' model prayer for you and for me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What do? We focus all of our attention. We ask our boss for stuff. We ask for all kinds of things that we want. I want that new car. I want that new house. I want this new thing. We're always asking for something else that pleasures us. Are we asking God for things that pleasure Him? Are we in His will? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will. And so we need to be careful what we ask for. We know who we ask. We don't ask Buddha. Buddha can't give you anything. Do you ask Muhammad for anything? Muhammad doesn't have any power to give you anything. Doesn't have any resources. As far as I know, Muhammad is dead. And he remains dead. 10,000 gods of the Hindus, they can't do anything for you. You can ask a rock, you can ask a stone. They can't do anything for you. You have to ask the one who made Muhammad, who made Buddha, who made everything on this world. He alone has the resources. Doesn't do any good, you know, to when I ask for money or something, to ask someone who doesn't have any. What good would that do? I go to somebody who has money and I say, you know, this is the problem. This is what we have. God has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we ask our Father to do these things. And then Jesus says that we ask in His name so that the glory goes to the Father. He will do anything we ask. So be careful that you don't ask for trivia stuff. It's not like a trip to the circus where you're asking your father for a candy cane or a cotton candy. I once was taken by a rich uncle and my father to a sporting goods store when I lived at Lake Travis as a young boy. And my uncle said, hey, it's going to be your birthday. You can have any knife you want. There was a huge thing of knives. They were special made, handmade knives. They were beautiful things, you know. They had wonderful handles made out of deer horn and elk and all these things. Now, I walked away from all that down to where they had a little Bowie knife that was the cheapest knife they had like that in the whole store. I said, I want that one. My father grabbed me up and said, you can have anything you ask for. Look at those. I said, no, I want that one. I knew what I wanted. I had a whole variety of things that I could get. Do you settle for something that is what you want as opposed to what God has for you? God has things beyond your imaginings that He wants to give you. I heard a television evangelist today say, wow, you know, if you're just good with God, and everything will be good with you and you'll have everything you want and all that. Of course, he hasn't read the Bible, because if he had ever read Job, he knows that's not true. We know from the beginning of Job, here is a perfect man, the perfect man, righteous man who loves God and eschews evil. And the devil says, yes, that's because you've built a hedge about him and his on every side. But put forth your hand. He ends up taking away from Job everything Job has in this life. And Job remains constant all the way to the point where he says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. When you ask God, you want God's will to be done. It may be God's will to take you to heaven. That's not bad, folks. Maybe God's will to heal you because He has now got you to a place where you'll surrender to His purpose. But you're to ask God in Jesus' name. And then he says, he who seeks shall find. Seeks. You know, that doesn't mean search for. It means strive to obtain. If you strive to obtain what God wants, if you strive to obtain approval in God's eyes, you're going to get it. He's going to let you have what you seek to find. There's no question about that. It's seeking. Jesus said to us, seek first what? Money, fame, fortune? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a right relationship with God, and then all this stuff will be added to you. All the little things you think you need, he already knows you need them. God knows. He knows every sparrow that falls from the sky. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you because he's your Father. He loves you. He created you to have communion, to relationship with him, to love him of your own free will. You're not like the angels. You were created special. This is sort of a conditional promise. Strive to obtain money or stuff. Jesus says of the scribes and Pharisees, they already have their reward. They have what they were striving to obtain. That's what they have. They strove to obtain respect in men's eyes, and that's what they have. They already have their reward. You have to seek God with all of your heart and strength and be able to stay there, praying for the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever that is God's. And finally, Jesus tells us to knock, and it'll be open. What is knocking? Knocking is you using what God has given you. You know, Jesus says he stands at the door of your heart and knocks. That is an image of him using effort to reach you. God is actively engaged in reaching you. He wants you. He desires you. You have to desire him. Knock. What does it mean to knock? Well, it means that you're working using your actions, your passions, your whole attention and life toward the things that he wants. Knock. You're knocking so that he will hear you at the door. You know, there are times when you knock on someone's door and they don't come. But if you fail to knock, just in the worldly things, on the door of success, you'll fail. If you fail to knock, you don't ask someone you love to live with you and be your wife or your husband, and you'll live alone for the rest of your life. If you have dreams and you don't knock on the door of those dreams, they'll be gone from you forever, and you'll be walking in a nightmare. What God wants you to do is to focus on him and to seek after him, to obtain his righteousness, to obtain the kingdom of God, and to be actively engaged in doing it. Knock. Knock on the door. Be persistent. Be actively engaged in doing it. How are you going to find if you don't knock? You ask not aright. If you don't knock, if you don't seek, if you don't ask, you're not asking aright. And so God says to us, Jesus tells us to ask, to acknowledge that God has the power and the resources and the authority that we must have if we desire to seek to obtain his kingdom. And that our persistent knocking at the door will result in obtaining his presence, his love, his mercy, and grace. If we don't do it, we won't have it. Jesus says that if we'll follow him, that he will never leave us or forsake us, ever. That's a promise of the Word of God. But if we never open the Word of God and we never see His promises, we'll not receive the promises because we don't even know what they are. So we can't ask right because we don't know what God is offering. Take the little knife down here, the cheapest one in the whole place, or the most expensive one. He wants you to have the best, the very best. And that means letting your will be in alignment with His will. And Jesus wants us to understand who God is, what kind of character He is. And He wants us to understand that. And so in these verses, He says, "For what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Is there anyone here who doesn't know how to give good things to your children?" Now, I understand we don't always do it. We know how, though. We know how to grant the desires of our children. We know them. They're our children. We know how to grant their desires. It may be to stay out past their curfew. That's one I probably wouldn't grant. But we know what the desires of their heart are. They tell us if we'll just stand and listen. He wants us to understand the difference between what the scribes and the Pharisees do and what God does. Even the scribes and Pharisees know how to give good gifts, but they're just temporary gifts. You know, yesterday my grandsons came and visited us for a while, and Sandra made little airplanes for them. You know, they were kind of foam airplanes, and they got to put stickers on them, and they were occupied with that for a while. Then they tried to fly the planes, and they were foam. They don't fly all that well. And they were taking them home with them, and I thought to myself, those planes won't last very long. It was a temporary gift. It was something perhaps will live in their memory, but it was a temporary gift. God doesn't want you just to have a temporary gift, to be temporarily healed of a physical disease. He wants you to be totally healed so that you can enter into heaven. He wants to wash away all of the sickness of your heart so that you can enter into heaven. God loves us. He is a good Father. He is our Father who is in heaven. You know, what do we really know of God? There are lots of times when I was a little boy, and first time I was in big church. And big church was a thing that little tiny fellows didn't get to go to because they kept little tiny fellows in a nursery. But I got to go. And I was sitting in the back, and my parents weren't watching me. I was sitting there very nicely, probably coloring or doing something. And the pastor was really enthusiastic about what he had to say. And he was preaching hellfire and brimstone, beating on the pulpit. And he was beating on the pulpit, and his voice was rising, and he was beginning to scream. And suddenly my family saw me, to their horror, walking straight down the aisle with my little fist in the air screaming, "No, no, 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 no!" Nothing's really changed very much. But God is a God who forgives a little boy from walking down there. He has mercy on us to forgive us and to give us a second chance. He loves us. He wants to bless us and not to curse us. He wants us to know how much love He has for us, which is why He sent His Son to bleed out on the cross. God wants us to have communion with Him. God wants us to talk to Him like a little child every day. God wants us to let Him know how we feel and the anger in our heart. He wants us to be truthful and honest. He said, "I would rather that you were hot or cold, because if you just look warm, I'd just vomit you out of my mouth." He wants to know the truth of your heart expressed to Him. You might be angry. You might be despondent. You might be in some pain, let God know how you feel. He already knows, but He wants to hear it from your lips. Just like I want to hear my children complain to me. It acknowledges that I have some authority. I have some resources that perhaps they might use. God loves us. He cares for us. And He's everywhere, and He's always looking forward to us. You know, you get all the gifts that God gives you because He promises these gifts like a birthday party to anyone who has new birth, who has a new life in Him. That's how you get the promises, to become one of His children. If you haven't been born again, you can't receive His gifts. If you don't have the Spirit of God living within you, then you can't understand the power that is there and available to you to live through the crisis in your life. You don't know God. You have to be born again to truly know Him. Born of spirit, not simply of flesh. God's truth. He is the Father. And He has a question for you. What do you want? God wants to know that every day, every moment of every day. Yesterday, my daughter called me on the phone. And she called me because, and you can turn that off. You can turn it off. She called me on the phone because she was in the middle of driving. And she was afraid that a thunderstorm was coming her way. And she was on a place where her phone wouldn't show her which way the thunderstorm was going, all the lightning, the hail. She called because she knew we had an internet and we had a resource. She called because she knew we cared enough about her to stop what we were doing and get on the internet and look and get frustrated trying to find what we were looking for. But she knew that we loved her enough to do that. And that even though she could probably do without it, that we cared enough to know. God, your Father, loves you far more than Sandra and I love our children. He wants you to talk to Him, to ask, to acknowledge that you have a need in your life, a need that only He can provide. Not simply because He has all the cattle on a thousand hills. This is not a name it and claim it kind of sermon. But He has what you really desire. He has the keys to the kingdom. He can get you into heaven. You can't get there without Him. What else do you want? If your heart is on Him, you want Him. You want His presence in your life. You want to seek to obtain His presence because there's no place on earth that gives you the pleasure that you have in the arms of God. And you're knocking. You're going to be walking right there with Him, working with Him to accomplish what His will is in your life and the lives of people around you. That's what Jesus is telling us. Don't be like the scribes and Pharisees. Don't be just a religious person. Be someone who is in communion and communication with God. Understand, to be like Jesus is to be one who looks only to God for everything in his life.